Turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23, as we continue our trek through this book of the Proverbs, Proverbs of Solomon, his wise, knowledgeable, understanding words to his children, the Lord, our Heavenly Father, speaking to us, and many things in here about just a practical living of life. Good words. If we'll take heed, there's a blessing in this. And if we'll listen, if we'll hear, and then we're going to see, we've seen, it's said, the same things have been said different ways, and the same things, different issues or subjects have been dealt with, even just repetitively, the same words. But it's good for us, and we need it. And here in this chapter, we're going to see something here about Solomon referring to that, speaking to his children heart to heart, and just reminding them what this is all about. Okay. And Proverbs chapter 23, verse number 1, when thou sittest to eat with a ruler or a governor, one in authority, consider diligently what is before thee, and put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man given to appetite. Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. Sounds like there in verse 3 that this has the potential and could be one of those improper or inappropriate motive gifts. Okay, that could be at hand. And he says there in verse number 1, consider it diligently. That's the word in the Hebrew. To understand or discern what's going on. To think. To cause yourself, ourselves, to get understanding about what is at hand. I couldn't help but think about different events that I have gone to because of my work. And when one of the builders that we would have, a company that we would represent in selling their machinery or their product, they would have get-togethers for one of two reasons. Okay, they would have meetings for one of two reasons, either to reward good performance or to encourage good performance. Okay, one of the other was at hand, because they never put anything on and went to any expense just 'cause. That just doesn't happen, okay? And so when there is one that has power or authority there, and there is this spread, if you will, or gifts at hand, we need to consider well what we're getting tangled up with, okay? We need to do that. And it says here specifically, put a knife, consider diligently what's before thee, verse number 2, and put a knife to thy throat. Boy, that's serious. If thou be a man given to appetite. Now, who doesn't like to eat? I enjoy eating, as you well know. And we're blessed with good cooks. I'm blessed with a wonderful and great cook, and we're blessed with very good cooks here in our church. And everybody's got their specialty that they make very, very well. And you ladies, you do so. And we have some of our fellas even cook, and that's great. And we enjoy that. But when we're there, and we've got these things before us, what's it say in verse number 3? Be not desirous of his dainties, okay? That savory meat. I mean, that's good, very good meat, victuals. It's very good victuals. Consider diligently what's at hand. Understand what's going on. If thou be a man given to appetite, to jump in and eat without thinking, think first and see what's at hand. Is this one of those improper or inappropriate motive? You know, the motive behind this gift, this spread, is for something that's wanted by someone, some entanglement that we might be entangled with. May we beware. Look out. Look out. And consider those things well. Verse number 4. Labor not to be rich. Don't make that the goal. Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. I gotta be rich. I gotta be rich. That's our wisdom. Now, it's good to have stuff, isn't it? It's good to have money. We enjoy having money. We enjoy having ability because of money. We do. But those things are in the hand of the Lord. Okay, and we have a responsibility here. Let's look at this, verse 5. Let's put these verses go together. Wilt thou set thine eyes on that which is not? Looking to be rich. I knew a man. I've told you about him. And I wonder where he is today. You have long lost track of him. He was going to be a millionaire by some point in his life. That was his goal. And he worked and he smoked and he worked and he smoked and he worked and he smoked and he smoked and he worked. That's all he did. And he would work at the plant, and then he would go and drive to St. Louis all night to go get material over there to bring back to sell it, and then come back into work. I mean, he was a caffeine addict, and I can say bless his heart, right? And that'll make it okay me telling you about it. But it was sad. He was ruining his health. He was using his youth for this because he wanted to be a millionaire by a certain age. And the thing he tried and tried and tried, I don't know if he ever got there. If he did get there, I wonder what kind of shape he's in physically. And it's good to work. We need to work. Labor not to be rich. Don't labor for that cause. Cease from thine own wisdom, because that's where that idea will come from. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? Maybe it's not for you and I to be rich. Although, living in this country, and certainly if we're saved, we are rich, aren't we? We are. In comparison to world standards, people that live in our country are rich. Even the poorest in our country, compared to world standards, are wealthy. And so, don't set our eyes on those things which are not. Maybe it's not for us to be wealthy. For riches certainly make themselves wings, and they fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Because it can come and then it can go. We got the order. Let's say, hooray! And then they take the order back. Boo. You know, you don't have it in your hand until you got it in your hand. And don't count on that. See, here's where we're at. Work the work with the talent that the Lord gives you. Work the work that you can work with the talent that the Lord gives you. That's what we're responsible for. But make certain you are working, and make certain you are using the talent. Okay? Let's go over here to Matthew chapter 25. You're familiar with this. There's this, and we saw and looked into this regarding the kingdom of the Lord some time ago. But there's a concept here that's in these passages that we want to draw out for this that we've looked at here in Proverbs 23. In Matthew chapter 25, verse number 14, look here. For the kingdom of heaven, the Lord Jesus says, is as a man traveling into a far country. He's got a trip, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. We have nothing that we've not been given, right? That principle's there. We own nothing that we have not been given. We have been given life itself. Brother Mark pointed out, as it says in the Old Testament scriptures, read it this past Sunday, it's the Lord that gives the ability to gain wealth, the ability to think, to understand, to have wisdom, to have prudence, to put things together, to be able to pursue and do and be savvy about a thing. And so this man's going to travel, and the direct context of the scripture is the Lord explaining about the kingdom, okay? But here, let's look for the principle that's in here. And unto one he gave five talents, to another two, and to another one. Listen to this. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. So this master gave things out as he saw fit, according to the perception that he had about his servants. Now we know that in this, and the way the Lord's given this, the Lord's talking about what He does, okay? What He gives out and what He purposes. And if I've been given one talent, or I've been given two, or I've been given five, what I've been given is what I'm responsible for. That's it. And I'm responsible to what? To do this. Let's read. We'll see it. Verse 16, then he that had received the five talents went and traded with the same and made them other five talents. What did he do? He obeyed. stewardship was given, and the talents and the pursuit. And we take a look in the other Gospels about this. The Lord said, in a parallel passage, the Lord said, "Abide till I come." What's He mean? And He's not talking about just kicking back, taking it easy. He says, pursue and do. Use what I've given you. That's what you're responsible for. The guy with two, the guy with one, the guy with five, you're not responsible for those other guys. You're responsible for you. Do what you have to do. And so He did so. Verse 17. Likewise, he that had received two, he also gained other two. But he that received one went and digged in the earth. He trusted in the earth rather than the word of his Lord. Okay? And hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoned with them. And so he that had received five talents came, brought the other five talents, saying, "Lord, thou delivered unto me five talents. Behold, I've gained beside them five talents more." The man's not bragging. He was just telling what he had obeyed in. It's all known that, and the man knows it, the Lord gave him the five. And the Lord told him what to do. And he's saying, "I just did what you told me to do." And they've gained. Okay? His Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." He also that received two talents, verse 22, came and said, "Lord, thou deliverest unto me two talents. Behold, I have gained two other talents beside them." His Lord said unto him, "Why did you not gain five?" He didn't say that, did he? He says, "Well done." See, again, the economy of the Lord is totally different than the way it is with men. We're just responsible with what the Lord gives us. Not to achieve some standard set by men or the world or whatever. We're responsible to do what the Lord's given us to do. He received two. His Lord said unto him, verse 23, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." And he which had received one talent came and said, "Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man." You're hard. That's the reason he gave out the talents, right? Because he's hard. That's the reason that he gave good instruction, because he's hard. He blessed with the talents. He didn't throw them in the dungeon, right? He didn't beat them before he left. But he gave them. He gave him something to work with. And of course, the Lord's given us life. I look at this man, this one, that way. That at least he had the talent of life. He had life. If we got life, we're to live it to the honor and glory of the Lord. And listen to this. "Lord, I knew that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed." So now he's accusing him of being a thief. Is the Lord a thief? How do you steal that which is already yours? We are His. The stuff is His. Everything is His. It's all His. It's always been His and it always will be His. He's not a thief. But this man accused him of stuff. And he said, here's the thing. "And I was afraid." You know, it's the fearful that are going to be thrown into the lake of fire. "I was afraid." Now understand, we can be afraid. But see, when the Lord's given us life, when He's given us talents, when He's given us a directive, if the Word of God is settled in heaven and stands, may God help us. May we receive it and believe it and trust Him and follow Him in it. "So I was afraid and went out and hid thy talent in the earth." He trusted in the earth rather than trusting in the word of his Lord. "And lo, there thou hast that is thine." The Lord answered and said unto him, "Thou wicked and slothful servant." Listen to what he said there. He's wicked and he's slothful. He did not do, did he? Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Why wilt thou set thine eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wing and fly away as an eagle towards heaven. He did not work the work with the talent that the Lord had given him. He didn't obey. He didn't hear. He sought something else. The verses that we see in Proverbs 23 are seeking for a high aim of wealth. Well, you know, somebody can seek a low aim of nothing. And so he says, the Lord said, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. I kind of take that the Lord is taking his words and throwing them back at him. He said, well, if you knew that was the case, you should have done something, right? I mean, the Lord's not that way, but he says, if you believe that I am that way, all the more you should have been busy. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money at the lease to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have had received mine own with usury. Take forth therefore the talent from him, and give it to him which hath 10 talents. For every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have an abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And those things are relative to the kingdom. But the principle is there. Work the work that you can do with the talents you've been given. Make sure you're working the work, and make sure you're using the talents. All seeking the face of the Lord in it. Back in Proverbs 23, verse number 6. This is kind of back to what the earlier verses were talking about. Listen to this. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye. I found this interesting about this eye. And of course, we looked in verse number 3, be not desirous of this one's dainties and the deceitful meat. Consider what's at hand. Here in verse 6, don't eat the bread of him that hath an evil eye. You know what this word eye is talking about? It's talking about, okay, literally the eyeball, okay, but figuratively, an analogy for a fountain that's in the center of the landscape. Okay? That's kind of different kind of thinking for us. Also, for this eye, outward appearance, countenance, a look, or resemblance. And of course, there's been judgments made about people in times past that if they're see, their ears were lower than their eyes, so you got to look down like this so your ears not, then something's up with them. You know, there's all those been those kind of things. Have you ever heard that kind of thing? The nose is too wide, and so something's wrong. You know, something's got to be some criminal element. Okay, those things are not so. We're made the way God has made us. But there is a countenance of those that are up to mischief and evil. And there's can be a deceitful way, too. Okay? But he says, eat not thou bread, eat the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. One that's looking on to wickedness. Don't have any part of that. Listen, because here's how it's revealed. For as he thinketh, verse 7, in his heart, and that word heart there, best I understand it, is speaking about the mind. Because see, it says thinking in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he saith to thee, but in his heart, okay, that word there is talking more about the soul, down in the center, the as I understand it, the seat of the emotions, who this fellow is, and his mind, okay, that's what he's pursuing. He's got a motive and a thinking of a one way. Eat and drink, saith he to thee. Enjoy yourself. Eat it up. But his heart is not with thee. He's got a motive, and he doesn't give a lick about what's going to happen with you. Okay? And so, we need to beware of those that have an evil eye, an evil outlook, an evil way, an evil pursuit. You know, the way... This is a whole subject for another time. It's because it is indeed a big subject. But there is something that we can take from a culture that develops Brother Mark mentions about the culture rot that we have, and the look that people take on, or the way that they dress, it tells something about what's going on inside. Okay? And the way people dress, or will in our day, tattoos, piercings, all those kind of things, that stuff is devilish. It is devilish. It is. I had a recent thing where one is looking to get some tattoo on themselves to the honor of some relative, and another fellow says, the scripture says, don't mark yourself and don't do that thing. It's not glorifying to the Lord. Another fellow says it's not that's in the Mosaic law, so all bets are off. You just go ahead. It's wicked to mark yourself. And see, that's a culture thing. It's at hand in our day. And what that does, it tells about what's going on in the inside. That evil eye. May the Lord help us that we have the understanding, wisdom, and discernment from the Lord about who we go with and after. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither that desire thou his dainty meats. Okay, that good, good food. You know, sometimes folks do, it's been done with drugs. So give drugs, and get somebody hooked. And then when they're hooked, they want paid. Okay, I think that falls under this. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. The whole point is to get them hooked. Eat and drink, saith he to thee. Go ahead and join yourself, but his heart is not with thee, because when you're hooked, you are his. Verse 8, the morsel which thou hast eaten, thou shalt vomit up, and lose thy sweet words. So relative to here verses 6 and 7, and then also I think relative to verses 1, 2, and 3, this verse 8 applies and connects with these. What's been partaken of, when the trap is sprung, then it won't be so pleasant then. As good of victuals as it was, as good of a thing as it seems, once the trap is sprung, what's it say? The morsel which thou hast eaten shalt thou vomit up and lose thy sweet words. Sweet words of flattery? Are we trying to become friends with somebody that we don't need to become friends with? This ruler or governor that is looking to gain something from us, or this one with an evil eye that's looking to gain something from us? Why will this morsel be vomited up? Is it talking about it's just too rich a food for us? Is that what it's talking about? No. Have we been sucked into a bad situation? Have we been used for what they can get out of us and then discarded? Have we been rejected by one that we sought as a friend that we shouldn't even be meddling with or messing with? May the Lord help us that we pursue what's right and always seek the face of the Lord in all things. Verse 9, speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. This fool is talking about one that's stupid or silly, just doesn't get it, doesn't want to get it. Instruction and wisdom and discretion is directed at them. It just bounces off the head like talking to a brick wall. Can't be helped. I mean, they're that way. I ran across this passage here in the last week or so in Proverbs 26. We're coming up to it. Verses 4 and 5. Listen to this. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be likened to him. You're barking up a tree that you just can't do anything with. So don't answer a fool. Verse 5 says, though, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. And so there they are. And I think the point is, you can't win. You just can't win. When one is a fool, when one just puts off all reason and all truth of the Word of God, if you try to do right by him, then you're going to be like them. And then if you don't do right by them, then that's no good. And it's just a trap. It's just bad. You just can't win with a fool. May we not be fools. May we not be foolish. Verse 10, remove not the old landmark, and enter not into the fields of the fatherless. We saw about this in chapter 22 last week. Remove not the ancient landmark in verse 28, which thy fathers have set. Israel was given boundaries, given borders and boundaries, property lines by the Lord, and they're not to be messed with. And this verse says, remove not the old landmark, enter not into the fields of the fatherless. Those that have lost their parents, maybe those who are young and the inheritor yet of their father's land, don't abuse them. Don't abuse them. Don't do them dirty. For their Redeemer, verse 11, is mighty. He shall plead their cause with thee. Do you want to plead your and mine crooked cause against the fatherless with that Redeemer? I say not. May the Lord help us in that. And James chapter 1, verse 27, speaking about the fields of the fatherless. Remember, James says this in chapter 1, verse 27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. And this religion is talking about worship and order and ceremony that is in it. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. So two things there. And that word visit is talking about inspecting or looking out or visiting. Now, I need to do better at that. I need to do better. That we do have the fatherless amongst us, and we need to be sensitive to that. And we need to do what's well in that. And may we not ever take advantage of these, or anyone for that matter, because the Lord is mighty and He'll plead their cause against us. Verse 12, apply thine heart, and that word heart is speaking about the soul, as I understand it, unto instruction, and thine ears to the words of knowledge. Let it go in the ears, and let it sink down to the soul. Apply it to instruction, to the words of knowledge. Verse 13, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. If you do it right, and do it in the place that the Lord's made for it, just perfectly designed for that. Not talking about a brawl, not talking about pummeling a child by any means. But do that, because why? Here's what's needed. Thou shalt beat him with the rod, and shall deliver his soul. And this is one of those applications verses here that this word soul, as I understand, is talking about the mind. And maybe there's more there that I just don't understand. But it says here, shall deliver his soul from hell, Sheol, or that place of departed spirits, as it's referred to there in the Old Testament. See, we need to instruct our children and correct our children and lead them in the ways and direct them in the ways of the Lord. Because foolishness, as a child, is bound up in their heart. And we have the opportunity, while they are with us, to direct them in the way of the Lord, so they, when they arrive and step out there as adults themselves, they may understand. We pray they'll understand. The Lord will help us that we would have taught them, that they understand that they live before and are ever accountable before God. We have them for a time. And as that passage that we've seen, our children are like arrows that we shoot. They go farther than we ever go. And we have that time to prepare them that they might know that they live and are accountable before God. They are accountable to us while we have them. But the ultimate goal is that they understand that they're that way before God. If they don't understand our authority, they'll never understand the authority of the Lord. Now, the Lord can intervene. I understand that. But this is the plan and the purpose and the way that the Lord has given us to do so. Withhold not correction from the child. For if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. It won't kill him. Thou shalt beat him with the rod, proper discipline tool, and shall deliver his soul from hell. Verse 15. My son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. Child, if you'll just listen and apply the good instruction of the Lord, there'll be nothing that makes me happier than that. Yea, my reins shall rejoice from within when thy lips speak right things. I just mentioned about it in Psalms 127. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. What does it say in verse 16? Yea, my reins shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. I tell you what, there's nothing more encouraging to a parent to have taught what God says to teach and then hear the children proclaim and declare the same thing. That's a blessing. It's a in a parallel to this, in a sense, it's a blessing to a teacher. It's a blessing to a pastor that has taught good things out of the Word of God. And those that he's given responsibility for, those that he pastors, those that the teacher teaches, takes them and tells them again to others. I mean, that's a blessing. When we've been used of the Lord to convey the teaching and truth of God's Word. John 3, or 3 John 4, verse 4, I have no greater joy, John says, than to hear my children walk in truth. Verse number 17. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Let not thine heart envy sinners. And we saw there in verse number 3, don't be desirous of that, the dainties and deceitful meat of that ruler, one in power. Eat not the bread of him that hath an evil eye. Let not thine heart envy sinners, verse 17. Be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. In Isaiah 11, we just saw this passage recently, and I'm going to turn over here and just take a look at this. This fear of the Lord. I hadn't considered this way. But here in Isaiah 11, it's speaking about who? It's speaking about the branch. Speaking about Jesus. Okay. And Isaiah 11, verse number 1, there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. This is talking about the Lord coming in the flesh. And it talks about the spirits that he will have, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge, and the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. Let's go on and say in the next verse, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. Jesus, as a man, had the fear of the Lord. Now, he's God, indeed. But as a man, because, and we read this, and read this recently, listen to what it says. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, what he would see as a man in this earth, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, of what he would hear in this earth, and hear of mankind. But he's going to do what God says. You know, if the fear of the Lord is good enough for Jesus, it's surely good enough for me and you, isn't it? Indeed it is. Indeed it is. The fear of the Lord. Verse 17 of Proverbs 23, let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. This goes on in verse 18. For surely therein is an end. There's a future. There's a posterity. There's a reward. Now, those are synonyms for this word end. There is something out there. And thine expectation shall not be cut off. This word expectation literally is talking about a cord or a string or a rope. Or figuratively, it's talking about hope, living, a thing longed for, the expectation that's out there. See, let not thine heart envy sinners, Don't go after the sinner's way. Be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long, because there's an end out there. There's a future. Do well. Do right. Follow the Lord and follow His truth and obey Him, that our end, our posterity, won't be cut off. Remember what it says, and we've seen this in Proverbs 2:22, but the wicked shall be cut off from the earth. Obeying the Lord, hearing Him, believing Him, heeding the word of the Lord, believing the Lord, as Abraham did, boy, that yields a wonderful end, doesn't it? An end in eternity with the Lord. But the sinner is cut off. In Proverbs 2:22, but the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressor shall be rooted out of it. And we've seen that here recently, how it is in that eternal kingdom. The Lord's going to put down everything wicked and everything sinful. Verse 19, hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. What way? The way of the Lord. The way of His Word. And the way of truth. We're going to stop here for tonight. I hope to be able to get through the chapter, but we want to spend a right amount of time on these coming verses. May the Lord help that we receive the instruction of the Lord and hear Him and believe Him. He has made it simple, hadn't He? It's not complicated. Maybe there's some things that we need to look in and some words that we might, because of the usage, might not be something that we're used to. And we can dig that out and figure that out to what they mean. But for the most part, the Word of God's simple, isn't it? So much. And as Mark Twain said, he said, it's not part of the Bible that I don't understand that scares me. It's what I do understand, because there's plenty to understand. And so, may the Lord help us that we hear Him and believe Him and trust Him in it. If you're here without Jesus Christ as Savior, we point you to Him. Repent of your sins. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is of the Lord. You need to go to Him with your sin and your wickedness, your depravity. The Lord knows all about it, and you need Him. Go to Him with it. He says in Matthew chapter 11, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Jesus Christ came to save sinners. Are you a sinner? Have you believed what the Lord said? The first thing the Lord came preaching is repent and believe the gospel. His death, His burial, His resurrection for the salvation of your soul. Yeah, it's so for others. We that are saved, we testify that it is so. The Lord Jesus Christ, by His gospel, has saved us. But that's the only way you're going to be saved, by repenting and trusting in Him. May the Lord help and bless His Word. If we can help you, we'd be glad to do so.